are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome.
You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. I'll be discussing Kim Eng's historic hire by the Marlins. She was introduced in a press conference this morning. I'll also have quotes. I will discuss the 2021 Hall of Fame ballot. We'll tell you the first-timers, tell you who's left, tell you who doesn't have a lot of time left on the ballot, and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. The big news around baseball today is obviously still the historic hire of Kim Eng as Marlins GM, and she had her intro press conference earlier today. And here is my biggest problem with everything that's happening. I feel as if baseball as a collective entity is spending too much time patting itself on the back for being the first league to have a female GM. When, let's be real, Kim Eng was qualified for this job 15 years ago, and it's long overdue. And that part of it is really annoying me. There were a ton of guys hired in the interim that didn't have the experience she had. Case in point, I spoke about this with Sully Baseball on his podcast. By the way, if you want to hear me on another podcast, you can listen to Locked On MLB. I appear on today's episode. We discussed Kim Eng's hiring. We also discussed Masahiro Tanaka. Anyway, we were discussing the fact that the Mets hired Brody Van Wagenen, I believe that's how you say his name, who was a baseball agent before they made him GM. He is also my age. He's a few months older than me. He's March of 74. I'm August of 74. My point is, he didn't have as much MLB experience as Kim Eng, and again, it has taken her until just before her 52nd birthday to get this job that other guys that weren't as qualified as her have gotten over the years. And baseball's sitting here sending out tweets about how historic it is, and ooh, look at us, we hired a lady. You should have done it 15 years ago. And you know what? Kudos to Derek Jeter for this. I'm actually happy that Derek Jeter is the one who did this because everyone was joking about him becoming owner of the Marlins, how horrible it was going to be for the Marlins. They're a terrible team. He doesn't know what he's doing. And slowly but surely, the Marlins are improving. And now they have someone as GM who is more qualified than most of the GMs in the league already. So I'm actually pretty excited about this for two reasons. One, I'm hoping that Derek Jeter can tell everyone to kiss his ass in a couple of years. And two, I want everyone to be blown away by how awesome Kim Eng is. So her introductory press conference was held at Marlins Park earlier this morning. She said, "The last 72 hours have been extraordinary for me. This was announced at 11 a.m. on Friday, and I can't tell you how much it meant to me to see the outpouring of just pure joy for a lot of people. All the congratulatory messages that I received were just awesome. The count is well over 1,000 now of emails and texts I've received over the last 72 hours. As the day unfolded, I was able to zoom out a little bit and realize just what was going on and just how much impact this was having over social media. It really became about me being able to share the moment with so many. It made me realize that it was really a glimmer of hope and inspiration for so many, that if you work hard and you persevere and you're driven and you just keep going, then eventually your dreams will come true." Again, she turns 52 tomorrow. This took way too long. People around baseball should be ashamed of themselves for it taking this long. But now that we're here, I hope the second lady GM doesn't take this long to be hired. Then again, with the way women are treated and not hired and passed over and passed over and passed over by men, it might take just as long for the next one to be hired. I will say the one positive about this is now younger girls are going to see that this happened and realize that they can do it too. And maybe someday we will have a female phenom hired at 28 like Theo Epstein was, or at 31 like Brian Cashman was. Wouldn't that be lovely? And here's the last thing I'll say about this. I know that there are people out there thinking, she never played baseball, how could she be a GM? I never played baseball, how am I podcasting about it? I never even played softball. But I helped my dad with his Little League teams, and I scored, and I watched the games. He took me to Yankee Stadium all the time when I was a kid. I've grown up watching baseball, just like most of the male GMs in baseball have done who didn't play baseball. Maybe they played it in high school, but they never played it professionally. So why are they GMs? In a moment, we're going to go through the Hall of Fame ballot. There are a lot of first-timers and a lot of first-timers that probably won't be first-time voted into the Hall of Fame, but we'll get into that in a bit. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. My pal Sully Baseball, I said I appeared on his podcast, he said that the lemon almond cheesecake is divine. And he said that if you like fruit combined with chocolate, that it's a really good choice. And out of the original flavors, my favorites are coconut almond, salted caramel, mint brownie. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. They're great if you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, you can use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So the 2021 Hall of Fame ballot came out, and there are a bunch of first-timers. We'll go in alphabetical order. Mark Burley, A.J. Burnett, Michael Kadire, Dan Haran, LaTroy Hawkins, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Aramis Ramirez, Nick Swisher, Shane Victorino, and Barry Zito. Players must receive at least 5% support in order to stay on the ballot the next year. I don't see any of these guys getting in, at least not on the first try. And the holdovers from last year: Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Omar Vizquel, Scott Rowland, Billy Wagner, Gary Sheffield, Todd Helton, Manny Ramirez, Jeff Kent, Andrew Jones, Sammy Sosa, Andy Pettit, Bobby Abreu. It looks like this might be the year in which Curt Schilling is elected to the Hall of Fame. In his past two elections, he's received the most votes of anyone not selected to the Hall. He reached 70% last year, and his support went up 9.7% from 2018 to 2019 and 9.1% from 2019 to 2020. There is a streak that looks to be coming to an end, as I mentioned. It looks like there's not going to be a first-time Hall of Famer. The run began in 2014 with Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and Frank Thomas. Then in 2015, John Smoltz, Pedro Martinez, and Randy Johnson. Ken Griffey Jr. was voted in 2016. Pudge Rodriguez was voted in 2017. Chipper Jones and Jim Tomei were voted in 2018. Mariano Rivera and Roy Halladay in 2019. And then Derek Jeter in 2020. They were the first time guys on the ballot that got off the ballot right away because they went right into the Hall of Fame. The only streak that's been longer lasted 8 years between 1988 and 1995. That saw Willie Stargell, Johnny Bench, Carl Yastrzemski, Jim Palmer, Joe Morgan, Rod Carew, Tom Seaver, Reggie Jackson, Steve Carlton, and Mike Schmidt inducted into the Hall of Fame. That is quite a run. Now, the thing to look out for: Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, because their last year on the ballot is 2022, and their support hasn't grown a lot. As I said earlier, Schilling has gone up more than 9% the last 2 years apiece, where last year bonds saw a 1.6% increase and Clemens only saw a 1.5% increase. Now, if things go well and people are allowed to go out in 2021, the 2020 class will be inducted along with whomever is elected in 2021. So you'll see Larry Walker and Derek Jeter make their speeches. Hopefully, let's cross our fingers that we'll at least see a Hall of Fame ceremony in 2021, because that will mean that our lives are somewhat back to normal. It's really incredible when you think about this past year and what's been happening and what's been taken away. Not even talking about the hundreds, thousands of people who have died from COVID-19, but thinking about all the simple things that we used to take for granted that we can't do anymore. Honestly, we were lucky we had a baseball season to watch. So I am hoping in 2021, we'll not only have a 162-game schedule, but that we will be allowed to be at the stadium to watch our team play, no matter what stadium that is, because I know not only Yankee fans listen to this show. So I hope wherever you are, that by summer 2021, we're all able to watch our favorite teams live. So while I was on the show with Sully, I'm actually going to be on two episodes today and tomorrow. We discussed DJ LeMahieu and just how important he's been to the Yankees the last two seasons, and how it's incredible that he's been this important to the Yankees for the past two seasons, because no one expected this to happen. No one expected DJ LeMahieu to be the Yankees MVP the last two seasons. I don't even think DJ LeMahieu expected it. And I will be big time bummed if the Yankees let him go. I really will. Now, Sully was saying that with Steve Cohen taking over Mets ownership and wanting to make a big splash, he wouldn't be surprised to see LeMahieu go over to the Mets. And to that, I said, I could deal with that, because my biggest fear is that someone like the Blue Jays would sign LeMahieu, and then we would have to deal with LeMahieu victimizing the Yankees 19 times a year. So I would much prefer him go to the National League. And if he goes to the Mets, the Yankees will only see him four times next season. But again, I don't want him to go anywhere. I think the Yankees would be silly to let him go. I know I'm not the only person who feels that way. But if they do let him go, they better have a good plan and not have this, oh, well, we'll just play so-and-so and patch him into this position and then we'll platoon this guy. No, you need to go and get someone to play the infield, a free agent. Thank you. Let's get back to the Hall of Fame ballot just for a moment, just for the end of the show, and let's discuss AJ Burnett and Nick Swisher. They're not getting into the Hall of Fame. We all know this. But let's just discuss how much fun AJ Burnett and Nick Swisher brought to the 2009 Yankees and helped those tight asses loosen up. I mean, my God, they even got Jorge Posada to accept getting a pie in the face. And he was one of the biggest tight asses on that team. Do you remember at the beginning of 09 when the Yankees didn't start off that great and they were losing really big down in Tampa and Nick Swisher had to come into the game and pitch? And he actually did a pretty good job, but he was laughing while he was pitching because it was ridiculous. And he did strike out Gabe Kapler, which I like reminding Gabe Kapler of anytime he tweets. But anyway, I digress. Jorge Posada was not happy with Nick Swisher being so happy-go-lucky in a blowout game. By the middle of the season, Jorge Posada was accepting of this new life being breathed into the Yankees. I think he's the one that hit the walk-off on the 4th of July, right? I believe he was the one who did that. There were so many walk-offs that season. I mean, it was 17, right? I think that was the number. There were 17 walk-offs. I think the funniest thing, and I thought it was funny back then, the funniest thing is that Derek Jeter did not hit a walk-off. We did not see Derek Jeter get a pie to the face, and that was a big bummer for me. I saw Hideki Matsui hit a walk-off against the Orioles July 21st. I saw Robinson Cano hit a walk-off against the Blue Jays, I want to say August 12th. I saw the error in game 2 of the ALCS against the Angels when Jerry Hairston Jr. scored from, I think he scored from first, right? Because he was running to second, Ibar overthrew the game. I think it was Ibar. Overthrew the ball, and then he rounded third and scored. And then when he was celebrating, they knocked him on the ground, and then they were kind of beating him on the ground. Anyway, I saw that walk off. I thought there was another one. I'm trying to think. I think I saw at least 4. Those are the 3 I remember. So anyway, AJ Burnett, Nick Swisher, they're in my Hall of Fame. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalayas, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find podcasts. There are tons of places. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.